Start. All right. Don't mean to be ugly. I've already had to use my recording for what I said Sunday. But I want to look at two words tonight and just one thought. The two words tonight is, and I'll try not to drag it. Ain't no telling how far we might get. We'll get as far as the Holy Ghost will let us get tonight. Hopefully no further and no shorter. But the two words I want to look at is the two words deceived and obsession. Deceived and obsession. I want you to look with me, if you will. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Yeah, we'll just do that. We'll go to these scriptures and lay this foundation. We'll look at quite a few scriptures to start with, just to give a foundation. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 16. The Bible says, take heed to yourselves. I say many times, I want you to go and examine yourself. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. There's been people that's been much greater than us, that's had their hearts deceived, and they've turned aside and they've served other gods. It's not above us. It's not beneath us. It's not beyond us. It's very prone to happen. Jeremiah 49:16. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Obadiah chapter 1. Obadiah 1 verse 3 says this, the pride of thine heart had deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Thy pride, the pride of thine heart had deceived thee. Galatians 6:3. Galatians 6:3 says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. James 1:26. This is the most some of us has used the Bible since the last time we used the Bible. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, This man, religion is vain. One more. 1 John chapter 1. St. John. No. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that's deceit. That's deception. That's deceived. I want to look at a few verses for the word obsession. Isaiah chapter 50, just two verses. Isaiah chapter 50, or two passages. Isaiah 50, verse 10 says this. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, God said. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. I'm going to read it one more time. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Psalms 36. Psalms 36, 9 says this, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Now, I'm going to repeat some things because all this stuff that I've been doing is just one great big study, one thing right after another for the last two or three weeks. Spiritual reality is that which is true. He said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spiritual reality, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Holy Ghost will lead you into in worship. It is things that are true. It's not make-believe. It's not imaginations. It's not your ideas. It's not your thoughts. It's biblical facts, ladies and gentlemen. Spiritual reality is truth. The Bible teaches us and tells us that the truth is what will make you free. Right. A lot of people still ain't free today. They're still bound by something. Because they never have let go of what's up here to receive the truth from the Holy Ghost of God to make them free. However, people often do not get a hold of what's true. Instead, they fall for deception. People will turn away from the truth and take their own ideas over what is true.
Right.
We're talking about deception and obsession. Deception has a very strong grip so that it binds a man until the truth cannot make him free. Man's bound in this stuff. I harp on things many times, but I must understand that a person will never get a hold of some of the things that I harp on until they see their spiritual need. Okay? I mean, I could sit here tonight and give you illustration after illustration of things that drive me crazy. Things that might seem minute to you, but things that I say over and over. I mean, how we grieve the Holy Ghost. You know, you'll never see what a grief to the Holy Ghost you are until you see your spiritual condition next to God. Until a man sees his spiritual need. Until a man sees himself like God does. Until a man gets his heart and life right with God, he really can't even understand what a grief to God and how much he grieves the Holy Ghost in his own life. I mean, the Bible says that even the ground, the earth, groans in our presence.
Right.
It's a grief. It's a grief to this earth for a sinner to walk across it. It's amazing, isn't it? Many times a person is deceived to think that they're fine. They're deceived to think, well, I'm okay. I'm doing well. And they're not doing well at all. They think they're in a good place with God, and they're being deceived. They're not in a good place with God at all. They're so far from God many times, it is pathetic. And yet at the same time, and we're going to see it tonight, we're going to see it. At the same time, they think they're okay, and they're not okay. We all know enough to never verbally admit it, don't we? I mean, we never will just come out right and go, man, I'm wrong with God. I mean, you know, every once in a while you get some people that has seen their spiritual need, they've seen their spiritual condition, and they've done business with God, and they understand how wicked they are. They understand what they are outside of God. But most of the time, people that don't really see it, it's hard to hear them say stuff about and even confess how wicked and vile they really are.
Man.
You know, you can point out to a man that's never seen himself in the light of God, and you can tell them what's wrong, and you can show them things in their life. And you know, the first thing they want to do, they want to start pointing out things in your life and everybody else's.
Right.
Let me go ahead and set the record straight. There ain't nobody in this congregation any sorrier than I've ever been, and no sorrier than I am. I'm the sorriest one amongst you. You understand that. You can point stuff out in my life. You know what the Spirit of God's going to say down on the inside? That's right. That's right. Oh, man, I don't want to start pointing my finger and saying, well, what about you? Or what about them? What about me? I mean, dear God, man, all them people can wear halos and it ain't going to do me no good. I need to have that right relationship with Jesus. Our actions, most of the time, whether our mouth is said or not, our actions will tell what we think about God and where we are with God. Many times we think that we're right, and yet we're very completely wrong.
Glory to God.
When a man does not see himself in God's light, and yet he thinks he's okay in salvation or relation or sanctification or purification, etc. This is known as obsession. When a man thinks he's okay in purification, man, I ain't got nothing like that in my life. It's obsession. Man's obsessed with these thoughts. We'll get somewhere. What is obsession? Obsession, it is self-deception. Deceiving yourself. The act of besieging. How about that? How about thoughts captivating your mind? How about thoughts taking your life over? My goodness gracious, man. Being controlled or affected by obsession. It's an idea or influence which continually fills your mind. Obsession. It's a compulsive preoccupation. And we so got it. I mean, man, we've got so many ideas of what salvation is and what we are with God, and it's so far from reality, it's so far from the truth that it's pathetic so many times. If a man has sinned and he tells other people that he has not sinned, because people do that. If a man sins and he says, I didn't do that, you know what that makes him? That makes him a liar. Okay? Why? Because he's deceiving other people. We call that a lie because he lied to a person and he's trying to tell other people that he's something that he's not, or he's not something that he is. So he's a liar about that. But that's not what we're looking at.
But if a man has sinned and he believes that he hasn't, guess what he's done? Listen to me real good, because this is where we miss things. When a man sins against God, when a man is not in right relations with God, when a man is not where he ought to be with God, and yet he thinks that he's okay, and he don't realize he's sinned, and he don't see himself as God does, the Bible tells us that man has deceived himself. And that's what I'm talking about, obsession. Self-deception. Deceiving ourselves. It's one thing to tell other people, no, I didn't do that when we did do that. Or, no, I hadn't done. Man, Lord have mercy, man, we can start naming things and asking people, have you done that? And God knows they have. And they would lie about it and say, man, I ain't never done no such a thing. But you know what's worse than that? When we start deceiving ourselves, when we start sinning and convincing ourselves that we're okay. You know what we call it a lot of times? You know what we call it a lot? Justification. People can justify their wrongdoings. I've met people that can justify anything. You know what they're doing? They're obsessed. They're convincing themselves. Their mind is being taken over by falsehoods. Their mind is being seized by falsehoods. And the truth is not in it. Isn't it amazing? Wonder why they can't be set free or made free. If he sinned and he believes that he has it, it's called self-deception, and this is obsession. Lying is known or knowing something and telling others something different, but being obsessed is believing you're okay with God when you're really not. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible. The content in both lying and self-deception are the same. Both of them are sin. Whether you're lying to somebody or you're lying to yourself, they're both sin. Both of them is wrong. But one goes against the conscience and deceives others with his lies, while the other is so deceived within himself that his mind is made up and he tells him that he is okay to the point that he believes his own lies in his heart. Boy, we got that. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that you can tell yourself something. You know, it's strange that I was in Home Depot with a fellow not long ago, and they just got out of a court case, and a man sued them, and it was bunches and bunches and bunches of dollars, and we were in Home Depot together, and we run across this woman that was stocking shelves, and the man was with me, and that woman knew each other, and hey. She was the woman that was in the courtroom typing everything that was said down. And the man that was with me said, can you believe how that case has went? Can you believe the lies? And I mean, I told the people with me, don't tell no lies. Tell the truth when you go up in there. This is what the woman said to the man. She said, you know, I've been doing this a long time. She said, one thing I found amazing in that courtroom, people believe their own lies. Everybody starts believing their own lie. They start telling this thing so long, and they stick with that story so long. You know what that's called? It's called obsession. It's called being deceived, and it's called accepting falsehood for truth, and God can't deal with that. All obsessed people are self-deceiving people. They all deceive themselves. All obsessed people spend much time considering themselves. So much time that they fall into this thing of obsession. See, because they start making excuses, accusing and excusing. They have them thoughts. Man, them thoughts come in, and that one thought will accuse them, and then they make an excuse. And then they'll have another accusation, and they'll make another excuse. They start believing those excuses that they make, and they start becoming obsessed with their own lies. It's amazing, isn't it? I know people like that. I know a boy that I went to school with, and he was my buddy. But man, you know, he just lied. Dear God, he would lie. But you know, it was amazing that he would be so set on his lies. And you could say, man, that ain't the truth. You know, he would be talking about something that was far-fetched, and you can say, man, that ain't the truth. And I'll just repeat him. He'd say, man, I swear to God. I swear to God. I put my hand on the Bible. It's the truth. And you know it ain't the truth. But what was it? He believed his own lies. He was so obsessed with the things. How's God going to deal with that? How does God cut through when we've so convinced ourselves that we're right? How does God cut through the mustard, friend, when we've so convinced ourselves that we're where we ought to be, that God ain't doing what he ought to do? Hey, we convinced ourselves that God's come short.
Right.
It ain't God. It ain't God. Many proud people, and I'm trying to stick to some of the notes the Lord's let me take off of my studies. Many proud people have become obsessed because they not only try to make others believe that they are a certain kind of person, but they themselves start believing that they are that kind of person. Full of pride. Full of pride. And they want other people to think that they're this, and they want them to think that they're that, and man, I'm safe. Hey, listen, friend. Hey, I'm right with God. Hey, I'm a real Christian. I'm a real saint. They start believing that junk themselves. But their lives is so different from the truth.
Yeah.
Paul was a fine example of this, ladies and gentlemen. Would you believe that Paul was obsessed? Would you believe that Paul had done convinced himself that he was right when he was very wicked? Would you believe that this man had lived his life thinking, man, I'm serving God. I'm doing the right things. Hey, where's me somebody I can kill? I need to do God a service. I need to do God a favor. And I need to go kill some people in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ, in the name of God. Killing people. Paul believed that he was doing the right thing by killing people. It's amazing, isn't it? Look, if you will, please, in Philippians chapter 3. Woo, it's hot. Zach, please blast that air. Man, it's right. Philippians 3. Did you just say it was me? No, I thought you said it ain't hot, it's just you. Philippians chapter 3, what's this? Verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul's pretty tight, wasn't he? He said he was blameless. Man, I was persecuting the church. I was killing people. And man, I was doing really right. I was right in there. He thought that he had to persecute the church in order to serve God with zeal. When men and women and children suffered harm, Apostle Paul, or Paul, I should say, Saul, rejoiced. When he saw children suffer, when he saw women suffer, when he took their husbands and murdered them, Paul rejoiced in that. You know why? Because Paul had done convinced himself, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this with the zeal of God. This is the right thing for me to do. It's amazing, isn't it? That Paul believed the lie. Me and you can believe the lie. I think Paul's a fine example. If he can do it, we can do it. It's amazing how wrong this was, but yet his desire to serve God was so great. This man had a great desire to serve God. I mean, he had a zeal, friend, to serve God in a way that harmed other people. Isn't that amazing? And he convinced himself. He look over there, if you go over in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible said he approved the death of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen. He approved it. He put his stamp of approval. He said, this is the right thing to do. We ought to kill him. He shouldn't be out here on the street corner preaching the gospel. I approve to stone this man. Put his stamp of approval on it. He wasn't hiding it. Paul put it out there, man. I'm right. I'm doing the right things. Tell you what Paul was. He was deceived, friend. He was deceived.
Right.
He was doing very wickedly, but yet he thought he was doing right. Remember I said something Sunday? You know, according to what Paul was doing, you know, that old law, according to that old law, you know, Paul was right. You remember I said Sunday, it ain't about right and wrong. That's the knowledge of good and evil. That's the wrong tree. But man, that tree of life, thank God. It ain't out there killing people. The tree of life ain't out there, man, just basing their truth, their right and wrong off of human reasoning, off of the Old Testament, off of humanity or humanism. They're basing it off what thus saith the Lord. Right and wrong. I got up in the wee hours this morning, not because I'm a good person. I'm a sorry person. But I got up in the wee hours this morning. You want to know why? Not because I'm good, but because the Holy Ghost of God poked me in the wee hours of the morning. And I mean, Brother Church, he woke me wide awake with some of this stuff on my heart. Man, I couldn't wait to get it. Hey, it ain't always like that, but this morning, because he nudged me, it was right. It would have been right to stay in the bed and sleep. It would have been good to stay in there, but not when the Holy Ghost nudged me. Laying in that bed is nothing wrong. Laying in that bed is good, it's godly. But I'm telling you, friend, when the Holy Ghost puts his finger on you, laying in that bed becomes wrong. Right. Many times on Sunday morning, not because we're coming to church, but the Holy Ghost would get up on me in the wee hours of the morning. And I mean, even though we're going to church, I still get up on Sunday morning early and start reading my Bible. Not because I'm a good person, but because there's an inner life inside of me, you hear? Because there's a Holy Ghost on the inside. Because I want to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and I don't want to grieve Him. And there's nothing wrong with sleep. Everybody needs sleep. We need rest for our bodies. Rest becomes wrong when the Holy Ghost tells you to get up.
Amen.
John 16, 2 and 3 says this. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. Isn't that amazing? People think that I'm going to do God a service by killing people. That's what Jesus said. He said that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. That's how corrupt. That's how false, that's how deceived a man can become. To kill somebody and say, I'm doing this for the glory of God and be sincere in it.
Man.
It's amazing. Wonder what's got us. I wonder where we're tripped up in some of our thoughts and some of our ways and some of our ideas. Wonder how we've deceived ourselves into thinking this when it ought to be that. And that still small voice is speaking to you, and you kick against the pricks. And yes, people do kick against the pricks, and they disobey that voice, and they just disallow it, and they count it as absolutely nothing, and they turn away from it when the Holy Ghost is trying to speak, and people won't listen. Wonder what it is. The Lord describes some that are obsessed, but notice what else He says. John 16. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. I tell you why people get so messed up, because they don't know God. I tell you, man, God will straighten a whole lot of this stuff out. The reason they're obsessed, the reason they're deceived is because they do not have the truth. They will not accept it. They shut it off because they already think they're right. We already think that we're so right about everything that nothing else can be told to us. Nope, that ain't what I know. What I know is right. I remember Don Green, Zach's talking about, made that statement down at Faith Baptist Camp that probably we all have a little heresy in our beliefs and our doctrine. And that man sitting there said, not me. And come to find out, he's got quite a bit of heresy in his doctrine. I mean, you know, it's amazing. The guilty dogs. Hey, why? Why is he right about everything? I'm going to tell you why. Because the truth wasn't there.
Amen. He deceived himself to think that, man, everything he believed was the right thing. Man, I still learn things. There's things I still have to go Amen. Back and go, oh, God, and have to undo. There's been plenty of things that I've even said Amen. That I went, man, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said those things. Amen. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more by the time I'm done here. Lord have mercy. People will not accept it. They shut it off because they think what they already have is right. This obsession is a matter of the heart. It's being separated from God, but yet saying in the heart that I'm okay. Your heart, man, you say, I'm okay. And God says, no, you ain't. But we don't even listen to God. God's wrong because we're right. When a man lies, listen to me, when a man lies, he shows confidence on the outward. And he gives body language, and I mean, he'll put his foot down, and I mean, all them signs. But man, I'm telling you, he'll be dogmatic in his lies, but on the inside, he's trembling. When a man tells a lie, he can look you in the eyes and stand flat-footed and square his shoulders and promise to God, son, that on the inside, there's a quivering going on because he's alive. But let me tell you something. When a man's deceived himself, on the inside, there's no quiver.
That's right.
There's no trouble. His conscience is basically seared in that area. That doesn't bother him. He can look you in the eyes and he'll go to his grave. And I'm telling you, friend, he ain't quivering on the outside. He's not quivering on the inside because this doesn't settle in his heart. He's already deceived himself to the point to where he knows that he's right. No matter what, he knows he's right. Let me tell you what obsession is. Obsession is stubbornness. That's another good definition for it. Both outwardly and inwardly, to the point that even the conscience seems to justify your actions. That's how stubborn it is. That even your conscience will justify your actions. Let me reiterate this. Obsession, listen real good. Obsession creates or produces stubbornness. Where's this stubbornness coming from? Having a different idea than God. Does that make sense to you? Stubbornness comes from disagreeing with God. Man, you get somebody that don't have, hey man, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You show me a man that's got the mind of Christ, I'll show you a man without stubbornness. Amen. I'll show you a man that's submissive. I'll show you a man that's obedient. I'll show you a man that's willing. But you show me a man that's got his own little ideas, son, he'll bow up and stiffen his neck and bow his back on God in a heartbeat. I see it all the time in children, ladies and gentlemen. These children's got their mind made up. And when mom and dad said something to them, bless God, they'd bow that back. I'd beat that back, bless God, they couldn't bow. Amen, amen, amen. You bow your back on me, we're going to bend it backwards. Amen, we're going to get it going the other way. Right. Stubbornness. Why? Because, man, you got to drive that foolishness far from him. I mean, dear God, man, you let them start that stuff when they're a little bit, and here we are again, but you let them start that stuff when they're young. How in the name of God are they going to get rid of that stubbornness someday? It's only going to get worse and worse. They just make up their mind against the Holy God. The symptom of obsession is thinking and believing that wrong is right, to the point that you will not even admit being wrong anymore. Sounds like stubborn, don't it? Man, it's thinking wrong is right, to the point that where you can't even admit being wrong anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to be wrong. It really is. It's okay, wives, to be wrong. Husbands, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay. I mean, dear God, it ain't going to be the end of the world. It doesn't mean you're going to get a divorce and your neighbors is going to hate you and your spouse is going to hate you and your children is going to turn against you. They can see you way before we even admit it many times. Man, they got flaws. Lord have mercy.
I mean, you know, there's an age that something happens in there and they begin to see mom and dad ain't perfect anymore. Mom and dad need to see that they're not perfect anymore. Yeah. I mean, it'd be real good if we could see sometimes how wrong we really are about things. Be good. People become so obsessed that they actually come up with proofs and evidences to support their imaginations, justifying it, accusing and excusing. They can prove that they're right. And I like those. I like the proofs because you start asking questions, brother church, and they start getting aggravated after a while because they can't go but so far their proof runs out. Because it ain't based on truth. You can't go but so far on a lie. You run out. You ain't smart enough to keep them going that much. People become so obsessed that they will not take heed even when others show them the error of their way from the Bible. I wished I had a witness. You ever try to tell somebody something about the Bible and they won't even line up with that? Zach and I was talking to a man not long ago, and I said, man, here's what I like to do with you. I like to sit down and let's just take the Bible and let's see what the Bible says about it. I said, man, I'd like to sit down at the table with you and let's just open the Bible and see what the Bible, let's just see what God said. This is what that man said to me. He said, I don't care. He said, that's fine and dandy. We can do it. He said, but you ain't going to change me no matter what. I said, dear God, you reckon that man's obsessed with what he thinks? I mean, man, I don't care what God. Hey, listen, you go try to tell a Pentecostal that talking in tongues is wrong. It don't matter what the Bible says, friend. They heard their grandma speak in tongues one day, and they'll take that old woman's experience over the Word of God any day because they're obsessed. Right. Yes. They deceive themselves to believe a lie. And buddy, they ain't the only ones. What's this? Something I've never understood, Brother Church, but I've noticed the lingo of preachers. I've watched preachers that you can ask them to pray in a crowd and they change their voice. I've watched them get up in the pulpit and they completely change who they are and the way they talk. And Steve, it's been to the point to where, you know, I'm a real person. I go out on the job and I had to mix and mingle with heathens and, you know, old crazy cussing codgers. And I get to thinking, man, if some of them preachers was to come out there on the job and talk the way they do in the pulpit, they'd probably get something thrown at them and laugh plumb off the job. What's wrong with you talking like a robot? How come you speak like, you know, I mean, you hear them talk, everyone going, why does he talk like that? Why can't you just be a real person and talk like a real person? I'm going to tell you why, because that man's obsessed. And it's a pitiful obsession. That's a sad thing to hear a man have to change his voice. And listen, I ain't excluding the Holy Ghost. I know that when the Holy Ghost comes upon a man, he takes over that man. That man will do some things different and be somewhat different. They'll even look different sometimes. I'm talking about people putting on the Ritz, man. Trying to be something that they ain't and convincing themselves that that's what they are. Every once in a while, I've met a couple that I wish would change their voice. Man, would you please find some razor blades and gargle a little bit? Lord have mercy. I don't understand it. I just think, man, them people ain't real. You hear them speak in the pulpit one way, and I think, man, if you was to walk out on a job with real people, they're like, what's up? Who is this nut? What's wrong? Why does he talk like that? Why does he talk like that? Wouldn't work, ladies and gentlemen. It's all a farce. It's not real. Well, when you first start out this kind of stuff, listen, when you first start out doing things that are wrong, you kind of know it. But if you'll stick with it and just keep doing it, it becomes part of you and it becomes very real to you. And nobody can tell you, that's who you are, that's what you are, that's what you have become. And that's what you think is reality. And it's not. That sounds a little bit crazy. These actions will become natural to you when it's not really your natural actions, if you do it long enough. Let me show you some examples, and we'll try to move on. Malachi, let's go to Malachi. We'll try to stay right in there. I want to give you some examples of this because I want you to see this.
Zechariah, Malachi.
I want you to see some examples of being deceived, of self-deception, deceiving yourself.
Malachi is a great book for this.
Look at verse 2, Malachi 1:2.
God said, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob.
This is not an ordinary lie. They're lying here, but they're not telling an ordinary lie.
The fact is that God loved them, but they refused to believe that God loved them.
They didn't even accept the fact that God loved them.
God said, I've loved you. And they said, how have you loved us? They didn't believe God loved them.
They question, how, God?
You ain't loved us.
They've deceived themselves. God did love them.
They refused to believe the truth and sincerely believed in their heart that God didn't love them.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the epitome of obsession.
Look at verse 6. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein? And ye say, wherein have we despised us?
God said, listen, you despise my name. You don't fear me. You have no love for me. And you're sitting there going, how have we despised you, God? God's trying to tell them,
hey, you've done this. And they're going, how?
Tell me how. You're lying. We don't believe you. Isn't that amazing?
Boy, God tried to tell us something, and we'll sit there and argue with God because we believe what we believe instead of what God says. Once again, God's word said one thing, and they didn't believe it. Rather, they chose falsehood over the truth. They did not fear Jehovah. Yet they believed that they had despised. Hey, they didn't believe that they despised his name.
Isn't that something? Didn't believe. And they did.
Many times, church, I come in here and I say some crazy stuff every once in a while. I say, man, won't you just tell God you hate him? Now, here's the people. And God said, you don't love me. If you don't love me, you hate me. You either love me or you hate me. Can't serve two masters. You love one, hate the other. If you ain't serving him, you're serving mammon, you hate him. Preach, that's harsh. Listen, friend,
God knows.
The problem is we don't.
Right.
The problem is we've deceived ourselves to believe a lie.
Man.
And we're the ones that's going to suffer for it. Look at verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible.
Oh, it don't mean nothing. That means nothing. That's what they, hey, what is it to us? What's the word of God to us?
I mean, it's nothing to us. And they're going, how have we done this?
How have we done?
They don't believe they have. They think that they're okay with God. It's amazing, isn't it? Look at chapter 2. I'll try just to give you these and comment very briefly at all, if at all. The Bible says in verse 13, chapter 2, 13, it says, and this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, nor receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. They're facts. He said, what reason? For what reason? For what reason? Why? Why do we do this? Verse 14 says, yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Verse 17 says this, and ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Chapter 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But what's this? But ye said, wherein shall we return? They said, Lord, we're already there. We're already close to you. We're already where we ought to be. How are we going to turn back now? God's the one that's going, hey, turn back to me, and I'll turn back to you. And they're the ones going, but we're where we're supposed to be, God. Man, it blows my mind to see this stuff in the Bible, because I see it in our lives so often that, man, well, we think that we're where we ought to be, and God's sitting there with his arms stretched out saying, please come, please come, please come. But Lord, I'm doing everything. No, you're not. I've done everything. Look at verse 8. Uh-oh. Will a man rob God? He said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? God said, in tithes and offerings. Isn't that amazing? You robbed me. And they said, no, we ain't. Isn't that something? God, you ain't give me the money that you're supposed to give me. Have we done you wrong? Have we cheated you? They don't even believe God. Verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Isn't that amazing? Look at John 5. We're about done. John 5:43, I believe. Oh, what's this? Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. You don't think people's messed up? What makes us any different than them? Jesus said, man, you'll accept all these other people. You'll receive them. But here I come in the name of God the Father. I come in the name of the Father, and you won't even have me. And here I stand before you. Flesh and blood, I'm standing here before you in the name of my Father, and you won't even receive me. We'll take that home with us right there. Mm. Boy, we'll take it home with us. Why ain't you got Jesus? Why ain't you got him? The Israelites seem to be perfectly at peace with their conscience as they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't mind rejecting him. Their conscience was so seared, it didn't bother them no more. They done justified their beliefs, and man, they had their excuses, and they believed what they believed, and Jesus was wrong to the point. I'm going to show you something in a second that's going to blow your mind, and you've probably seen it 10,000 times. Look at verse 44. John 5:44. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? They didn't even seek real glory. But they was looking for a substitute. Is that not what we still do today? Yeah. We're still looking for substitutes, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that's self-deception. Looking for substitutes. Preacher, give me a substitute. Can somebody give me a substitute? No, I don't want to put you on the spot. Let me give you a real good substitute that ought to be fresh on your mind. A substitute is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, I'm going to church because it's good. I'm not going to do that because it's wrong. That's a good substitute. Man, I'm a good person because I walk the line. I mean, I'm separated. I'm dedicated. That's all fine and dandy. But I tell you what I want to do. I want to please my Father.
I want to please him. I want to have a right relationship with him. There's things that you might see people do sometimes, and man, why in the world did he do that? It might be because he's full of the Holy Ghost. You might have seen Percy Ray do some of the stuff that he done, push a pencil down the aisle with his nose. On all fours like a dog, push a pencil down the aisle. What's wrong with that man? He's crazy. The Holy Ghost. Maybe the Holy Ghost made him do it. Maybe the Holy Ghost will make you go stand out on the street corner while they cuss you and while they squirt you with urine-filled water guns or throw urine-filled water balloons. And maybe the Holy Ghost will make you go out there and be rejected of men. Man, that's a harsh thing. But dear God, it might please your Father. Might please the Father. If they was looking for something else, they wasn't looking for the glory of God. Out there's looking for the approval of man, the knowledge of good and evil. Look at chapter 7, John chapter 7. We hurry. verse 19. This is what I wanted to show you. Blew my mind. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why ye go about to kill me? Jesus said, why are y'all trying to kill me? I mean, it's amazing. I want you to look at these crazy people's response. I want you to look at the stupid answer in verse 20. Somebody tell me what the answer was. Why did they want to kill him? Why did they want to kill God? They said he had a devil. They said, because you've got a devil. Jesus, God, the King of glory. They said, look, man, we want to kill you because you're full of the devil, friend. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that men can be so deceived, so blind, so far from the truth that they're looking at God and mistaking him for the devil? You know how many times in my life I've heard people blame things on God, calling him the devil, and give the devil praise, calling him God? I've heard that man deceived, blind, twisted up. They got this thing in their head, and it's not even Bible, friend. They wanted to kill him, and yet because they said he had a devil. Why you want to kill Jesus? Verse 27, we're done. Verse 27 says, Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Do you see what they're saying? Jesus is standing before them. Times ain't changed, Brother Church, as far as this stuff goes. People still doing the same stuff. Jesus Christ has approached these people. He's sitting there in flesh and blood. He's cast out devils. He's raised up the dead. He's healed the blind. I mean, he's gave the deaf their hearing. I mean, he's done all these things. And here Jesus is, and they go, hey, that ain't even Jesus. They're so deceived. They're so full of themselves. They're so prideful. They're so stubborn. They're so blind. They're so full of false. They can't even look at God and say, yes, that's him. You hear me say every once in a while they wouldn't know God from a jackass? These folks wouldn't know God from the devil. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the contrast between God and the devil. The light versus the dark. The holiness versus the wickedness. And they don't even know the difference.
Yeah.
What makes us any different? What makes us any different? How we know God. How we know God. How we know it is God. Because of the truth the Holy Ghost leads us into. The Holy Ghost says, that's him. That's him. The Holy Ghost said, oh, thanks be to God. That spirit of truth living on the inside of me can hear the truth from the Word of God. I mean, it can fall from a man's lips. And that deep begins to call in the deep. And the Holy Ghost inside of me begins to say, that's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. Every once in a while, I hear a still small voice. And the Holy Ghost, the spirit of truth, will say, that's him. That's him. That's him. If you don't say that, be careful not to call it him. Right. It might be the devil. It might be an angel. It might be the devil as a minister of light. Huh? It might be a devil that transforming himself as a minister of light. My Lord, be careful unless the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, not to grieve the Holy Ghost. I mean, just to be obedient and to be sensitive and to go along and to be careful and to be mindful and to cherish his presence. Because he's the one that says that's him. You don't think Jesus had the Holy Ghost on him? Man, Jesus was all about the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost all over him. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He come up out of that river, Son, thank God. And that Holy Ghost come down swooping out of heaven and landing upon him. Hey, friend, thanks be to God. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ had the Holy Ghost. And if these people are so deceived that they can look at the Son of God and say, you're full of the devil. We want to kill you. Well, if we could get our hands on him today, you hear me? If this world could get their hands on Jesus today, they would kill him so fast again it'd make your head swim. But they can't, mamas and daddies. This world can't get their hands on him. So what do? They raise up little children to grab a hold of mom and dad's heart and rip their heart out and spit in their face. That's a mockery. That's aimed at God Almighty. Since they can't get it, God, they get the next best thing. They come in their home. They start working against moms and dads, husbands and wives, friends and neighbors, parents and children. They work against them, friend.
Right.
Can't get to God, so they get the next best thing. The worst are working in that home. That's right, man. I'm telling you, this whole world attacks the home. Sure it does. It's done crept into our homes. It's done penetrated our homes. And I'm telling you, it's done captivated most homes. It was to eat up with the world anymore. We don't hardly know God from the devil anymore. Right, God help us. Well, so many times God tries to deal with people, and yet they already have their ideas of what's what. And they dismiss God's truth for falsehoods. I'm telling you, man, we sit up in here, and I believe time and time again, we've dismissed the truth of God that will make you free for the falsehoods of religion. I mean, our own ideas, ladies and gentlemen, if we get past that, I mean, I'm telling you, we need to let Jesus Christ control our mind. We need our minds purged. You say, preacher, how do I do it? I'm so glad you asked. You saturate your mind in the Word of God. I mean, shut it up! Shut up! Saturate your mind in the Word of God.
Amen.
I gave this little girl Psalms chapter 23 7 times a day for 7 days. You say, why'd you do that? Because when I was a young man, wicked and full of sin, and my mind was so corrupt and polluted. Oh, Brother Sammy Allen gave. I said, Brother Allen, I need my mind cleaner. Man, I'm battling in the mind. And he gave me that Psalms 23. Brother Church, it worked. I'm telling you, it worked. 7 times a day for 7 days, just saturating, flooding my mind, my thoughts with the Word of God. It helps, friend, it helps.
Amen.
Sure it does. What does it do? It gets rid of them old thoughts of deception in my mind. Get some truth in my mind. Amen. Saturate your mind with good things. This world is aimed at your mind. You hear me? Them fiery darts, friend. If you ain't got the helmet of salvation, and most of us in here don't, I'm telling you, dear God, them fiery darts is flying at your mind. You come up with some of the craziest ideas and craziest thoughts stuff that you conjure up. I'm telling you, if it ain't against yourself, it's against your neighbor, it's against your spouse. But it all comes down to you and God. That's what it all comes down to. Self-deception. Man, we need God. We need God. And I mean, we need God real. We come up in here and we act like we after God. I'm going to tell you what God said. He said, when you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. I'm going to tell you why we ain't found God. We ain't seeking him with our whole heart. We're playing with God. We believe these stinking lies. We've deceived ourselves to thinking we're doing something. We're on trail. We're seeking after him. We ain't seeking after him. We're making God a liar when we say that. God ain't no liar. God said if you'll seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me, friend. God is wanting to be found of you.
That's right.
I tell you what we'd rather do. We'd rather entertain this flesh. That's right, we'd rather entertain this flesh. We've got to live through the course of this world and hymn hall and play and just tinker around enough with the Word of God. Maybe a little old prayer closet once in a while. Maybe just go in and clean a cobweb or two out every once in a while and think that we're searching after God. Friend, if you search after God, God will show up. If you get on His trail, if you pursue Him, God will show up. Amen. He will. He'll reward you with Himself. God will reward you with His presence. That's right. He'll give you salvation. He'll give you a Spirit-filled life. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Friend, God's got so much for you. And it ain't God's fault the reason you ain't got it. You ain't got it, best God, because you don't want it. You've done lied to yourself and said, I want it. When you've lied and you don't want it, God has it for you if you come get it. Amen. Right. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. You ain't got Him because you don't want Him.
Right.
Oh, preacher, no, you ain't, you a liar. You've deceived yourself. That ain't the Word of God. Man, faith coming by hearing here from the Word of God. I tell you, we've heard enough of the Word of God to save the entire world. I'm telling you, you ever watched one football game? Just one sign of John 3:16 in that end zone is enough to save the entire world. That's enough for the Holy Ghost of God. How to take that sign out of that end zone and pierce your heart with the love of God.
Amen.
The love of God will constrain you. The love of God will bring you to repentance. Man, this deception. It's deception, man. We've deceived ourselves. It's a lie. Do you hear me? Why don't we just come clean and say, God, I'm a bald-faced liar. Maybe not to everybody else. But God, I sure have lied to myself to the point where I believe it. Don't be stubborn. That stuff will produce stubbornness in your life. People will die in that stubbornness and go to hell. Oh, stiff-necked junk. I'm telling you, there's examples all through this Bible. Where God's standing there in front of people and people's going, that ain't God. God's trying to tell them something. They're going, oh, God, you're wrong. We're still doing it today. We tell people, hey, man, I won't be saved. God ain't saved me. Hey, I want to try to get close to God. No, you don't. You're as close to God as you want to be. God wants you to be close. Man, we've deceived ourselves. I tell you why I'm not walking up to par sometimes. It ain't because God's withdrawn Himself necessarily, but it's because of sin in my life. I withdrawn from Him, and because of the sin, God has to withdraw. Man, I get that sin right. Man, I get over there, I get to confessing God, grant repentance in my life. God will draw right back up to me. He said, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you, friend. Get the junk out of your life. Get the sin out of your life. Nothing between me and the Savior. Nothing between me and the Savior. I'm telling you, draw nigh to Him. He will draw nigh to you. If He ain't nigh to you, friend, it's because you're away from Him. If He ain't nigh to you, it's because there's sin in your life. If He ain't nigh to you, it's because of you, friend, not Him.
Lord.
Right.
Lord.
The devil's deceived us. We've deceived us. We've deceived others. Dear God, it's time to come clean and be honest and tell God the truth. Man, tell God the truth. Yes, God, you're right. I'm wrong. You're true. And every man's alive. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the lessons in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the clear presentation, dear God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for making it real to me. Pray, God, you'd help this congregation. Oh, God, I pray that you'd stir their soul. I pray, God, you'd take their sleep. I pray, God, you'd take their appetite. I pray, God, you'd take the fun. I pray, God, you'd take the pleasures of life. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help them, dear Lord Jesus, to find a place of grace. And Lord, just get along with God somewhere and do business with you and come clean. And Lord, sure enough, get after you. Sure enough, seek you. God, sure enough, be honest where they can get a hold of God. And God, you can get a hold of them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Quit playing with you. God, just get busy and get serious. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.